Hello and welcome. My name is Luke Burridge and this is the Science Fiction Book Review Podcast. It's a show where I read a book and review it. Science fiction books, that is. And it's not a regular thing, or it is quite regular, but it's not once a week or once a month or anything like that. It's just whenever I read a book, I review it and put it up online here in the feed. So if you want to know more about this and the kind of things that I do here and why I'm doing this, just check out the very first episode of the Science Fiction Book Review Podcast, and you can find that at sfbrp.com or on iTunes or any place where you find the feed for this. So let's get straight on to the review here. This episode I'm going to be reviewing a book from 1984 called Fire in the Abyss by Stuart Gordon. And it's a kind of time travel, time displacement kind of story, and I really, really enjoyed this one. It's told from the point of view, it's sort of like first-person point of view, of someone called Humphrey Gilbert, and he's actually a real-life character person, really. He did exist. He was the half-brother of Sir Walter Raleigh. This is back in the 16th century. And he's best known, I guess, for his ill-fated explorations of North America and trying to find Canada. And actually, he was the person who pretty much claimed Canada and that whole top half of the North American continent for the British Empire. And so it's told from his point of view. So actually, when he was coming home from Canada for the first time, his ship was lost in rough seas and it was never seen again. So this book poses the question, okay, we've got this historical figure who nobody saw die, nobody knows where his body is, so what actually happened to his body? So Stuart Gordon has answered the question to say he didn't drown, he was actually plucked out of the sea and once his boat broke up by this kind of semi-secret American experiment called Project Vulcan, and he was transported through time from 1583 through to 1983, and that's pretty much the idea behind this book. And it wasn't just him who was transported through time, it was lots and lots of other people, and lots of other people plucked off the ships, or the ship sunk and they're plucked out the water from thousands of years ago all the way up until sort of like the 1960s and 70s. You still get people plucked out, and I think it's sort of a play on the idea of the Bermuda Triangle and something that actually caused all these ships to go missing and all these people to go missing off of their ships in the North Atlantic. As I said, this is all written from the sort of like the perspective of Humph, and it was quite a unique style of writing. I really enjoy this. I think this is the thing that I most enjoyed about the book, is the very sort of rambling style of writing from Humph, because it's him, he's like actually writing down all of his story from when he was sort of like a young boy all the way through the time when he was plucked out the sea and all the way through to sort of put down exactly what happened to a victim of Project Vulcan. But he doesn't just tell a straight story, it's all over the place. So he introduces characters like completely out of order, talks about major events in the book before they happen. So I can't really spoil any of the major events in the book, because he talks about them all out of order. Right at the beginning of the book, he's talking about characters that shouldn't really show up until like over halfway through. And it's quite interesting that. And he ridicules modern life quite a lot, and uses lots of historical sounding terms, and the feel or the style of writing is quite unique for a science fiction book, because he's writing, I mean, he's from the same time as Shakespeare, so there's quite a lot of similar writing styles in a way. I mean, it's nothing like Shakespeare writing. It's actually written, it's meant to be written by someone who has never written anything before and has never tried to communicate with people in the 20th century before. So that's the real unique thing about this book to me. It's broken down into three parts, actually called Part the First, Part the Second, and Part the Third, in some kind of oldie English kind of style. And all the chapter titles are keeping in it as well. It, like from the first section, How Humph Has Fought for His Beliefs, Of Golden Ships and the First Map of America. So the first part is actually just a historical novel told in the first person of him growing up, of Humphrey Gilbert growing up down in Devon and meeting historical figures and going to school and finding a map of the world and thinking, yes, I'm going to be a great explorer. And he goes off and has to fight the Irish first, and he tries to save up a lot of money to get his ship expedition out, and he spends time in the court of Elizabeth I and things like that. And that's actually a really enjoyable part of the book. Nothing sci-fi about it, except just sort of like a great sort of character building piece. Maybe a little bit long, but hey, I really enjoyed that part of the book. And of course, it tells the story of his, as I said, his ill-fated trip to North America. part the second pretty much begins with the Project Vulcan, this vortex. He falls into this vortex and is transported through time and is picked up by a modern American nuclear submarine and taken back to North America and put in jail. But it's not just him, as I said before, who's picked up from the sea and taken there. There's lots of other people throughout time, and they're all put together in this one big sort of large prison kind of camp. And they're all called DTIs. I think that's the Distressed Temporal Immigrants or something like that. So, yeah, there's lots and lots of people there throughout all history of time. And I really enjoyed this part as well, of lots of these people from different periods of history getting to know each other. This has been done in science fiction books before. I think there's the Riverworld series or something like that, where you get lots of different historical figures. These aren't historical figures that people actually know about. They're mainly Humphrey Gilbert is the only sort of historical figure that anybody knows who's put there. But there's lots of people like from the Second World War all the way back through to ancient Egypt and beyond. And this is a very interesting part of the book, although it does sort of go off the rails a bit for me, because they have to make an escape from this prison camp. And for some reason it goes off into this kind of like fantasy world of telepathy, and they talk to each other in their own minds. And then as soon as they escape from this this jail, suddenly they're not telepathic anymore, and they just lose all of that. And I thought it was a bit lazy, this middle section. It was good to get to know all these different characters, and it was great, the escape and all the different bits and pieces that went on there. But I just didn't feel it that genuine or that believable. Like I say, it's a bit lazy just to go, okay, these people need to escape. How can they communicate with each other when they're separated in prisons, and how would they escape? And just letting them be telepathic with each other just seemed a bit lazy in that point. Part the third is where Humphrey escapes, after Humphrey escapes from the jail. Again, I'm not giving anything away here because, you know, he writes all the way through. Actually, before things happen, he talks about them all the time. So I can't really spoil the book in the terms of the main plot. Yeah, he's on the run in America and then in England, and he's trying to get away from the sort of the agents of Project Vulcan and trying to stand up for himself in the modern world, even though he's from the 16th century. And again, this plays a lot more about sort of the fish out of water kind of thing. And also, I really like the idea that because it's only sort of a half-secret thing that's happened, or it's this big conspiracy, it's like a real conspiracy theory that all of these DTIs are around, that it sort of catches on with the imagination in North America and in the UK as well. And everybody knows that there might be these people out of time running around. So everyone else is claiming to be sort of like Napoleon, and I'm this and I'm that, whereas Humphrey is the only person he actually finds that is sort of one of these out-of-place time travellers. So I really liked this third part as well, how he travels around North America and makes his way to England again and meets up with a scholar of the 16th century in England, and it's this scholar who actually tells him to write down his story. It's not a diary, but all it sort of becomes sort of a diary and therapy for Humphrey as he writes down his full story. The story itself is actually very satisfying. I really liked it because it's not just a story. It's a story in a story in a story, and because it goes all over the place. The characterization, actually the main character of Hump, is amazing. You really like him, even though he's very selfish and he's obsessive about himself and he doesn't care what other people think. You actually, because you're so much in his mind and his sort of 16th century kind of bullheadedness about how he must be right because he's British and because he's like aristocracy and everybody else is just commoners. I really like how you can get into the mind of someone so deeply that even though if you met them in real life, you'd hate them because you're seeing things from their point of view. You get on with them quite well. The other characters in the book are quite well-rounded in some ways, but other ways, because Humphrey doesn't really care about other people except one or two other people, he's quite selfish and obsessed with his own feelings. You don't get to know the other characters quite as deeply as you would in maybe another book, which doesn't have such a strong central character. And there's various romantic elements as well, although Humph is, because of his where he comes from in time, he's not very fussy about who he has sex with, male or female or anything like that. So that's a quite interesting little sort of side theme to the book as well, how you think that the modern world is quite quite progressive in a way, but underneath the historical facts or what we read in history books of the old of 15th, 16th, 17th century, there's this whole layers underneath of it where there was just as much drugs and sex and music and writing and all of that kind of stuff going on there. And the technology and all that kind of stuff in the book, not a lot of new technology ideas except the Project Vulcan experiment in the like the central theme of the book of being displaced out of time. It's never really entirely explained in that much depth, but it is quite cool. The most enjoyable part is actually seeing the modern day through Humph's eyes and how, for him, the modern day, the modern world is science fiction. Because you see it all through his eyes as someone from the 16th century. And the one thing that I really loved about this, I mean, there's loads of moments in it, but a really great moment in the book was how he's at the front of the stage, in front of the stage at a rock concert, and the music hasn't started yet. And then the band starts up, and it's the loudest thing he's ever heard. And I really enjoy that kind of thing, how he discovers modern life. And for him, it's pure science fiction. One bit of technology that I really do like was how everybody from time is put together. All these different displaced characters. And, of course, there's modern bacteria and viruses that these people don't have any kind of immune system to handle. They don't have any resistance to these things. So they're all put in these airtight suits. And so for the whole second part of the book, Humphrey spends all of his time in an airtight suit. And I really like that image as well. And that's actually the picture on the front of the book. There's a man with a helmet on, with a mask on, with a reflection of Humphrey Gilbert's ship on the front of it. It's quite an interesting little cover there. So I think that's pretty much it for the book, the content of the book itself. Overall, I'd give this book about 4 stars out of 5 stars, mainly because it was such an enjoyable read. It was a bit long in places, but I really liked the rambling style of the writing, and I imagine that could put people off, but it really drew me in, and like I say, I cared for Humphrey the Gilbert most, like more than actually most characters I've ever read in books. Yeah, I'd give it 4 out of 5 stars. Gets marked down from 5 stars just because, like I say, it does ramble a bit too much in some places, and that lazy kind of middle section with the telepathy and ESP and all of that. So, yeah, 4 out of 5 stars. The next book that I'm going to read is another book from this century. It's from 2001, Peter F. Hamilton's Fallen Dragon, a big chunky book from him. It's a standalone book, not in any one of his sort of series of books. So yeah, I'm gonna read and review that next. I have read it before, but I remember enjoying it quite a bit. So I'll see if it still stands up on a second reading through. So if you've got any suggestions or ideas, or if you've read the book that I reviewed today and you want to disagree with me or agree with me or anything like that, just email me luke@juggler.net. That's my email address, or just check out the website sfbrp.com. Catch you later.